This episode of the comment section is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. Since the dawn of bread, we've known the truth. Sliced is better. That's why new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail style flavors: pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only.
Hear that? It's the sound of someone whacking the ground with a rake. Specifically, they're beating around the bush, which we've done enough of in this ad too, so let's get right to it. The new Moneymaker scratch-off from the Ohio Lottery doesn't beat around the bush. Moneymaker. Play the game and you could win money. Up to $2 million. With more than $88 million in prizes, ranging from $50 to $500, Moneymaker cuts right to the cash. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
I had a patient who had an IV in the jugular.
Oh, okay.
And they pulled it out. And if anyone knows anything about the jugular, that's a lot of blood that comes out. And I remember it just spraying everywhere. But I don't get fazed at all. Like, it was hitting me. It was hitting the ceiling. My cat pukes. My grandmother's cat pukes. I'm like... I can't do
you're
this.
You're getting sprayed with blood and you're like, it's fine.
Yeah,
actually, no worries. Hey, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of the Comment Section Show, starring me, your fave. Everybody knows me. Who cares about me? On to the guests. Today, we have the wonderful, the amazing, the iconic, the legendary Hunter Prosper. Woo! Welcome to the show.
Drew, I care about you. I care about you deeply.
Oh, God, thanks, man. I appreciate that so much. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having
me. I'm happy to have you.
This is such an honor. We've ran into each other probably 15 times.
I know. We go so far back.
We do.
And we're both 15 years old.
Yeah, exactly. What? Exactly.
Figure that out.
We're so young.
I know. We run into each other everywhere.
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 For,
I mean,
for
you
the
could,
past, like, 3 years.
You really have. For the past 3 years, we're just like, hey,
it'll be random again. It's a different state every time.
It is always a different. You know what? That's so funny, because when I was in Arizona, there was another girl. Who was I talking to? Oh, I think it was someone that worked at TikTok. Mm-hmm. But I was telling her, every time I see you, we're in another state. Because I saw her in California, I saw her in New York, and then I saw her in Arizona, and then I saw her, I think, in Tennessee once. Yeah. And she was like, oh, that is true. That's you and me.
And every time you're wearing a great outfit and I'm just wearing a dumb t-shirt.
And you look great. And you look, your hair carries. That's a good thing.
Thank you. Well, so I walked here. So if it's like frizzy or anything, I'm sorry.
It's all right. It looks wonderful. It looks beautiful, luscious, long.
Thank you.
You got a great hairline, bro.
Thank you.
You do.
Yeah. It's all genetic. I got to give all the credit to my mom.
Period. So, yeah. You know, I actually know that when men bald, it's because of their mom's side of the family.
Yeah.
Genetically speaking. So. Yeah. Bad news for a lot of men who hate me. Uh-oh. Get mad at your mom for that. That's her fault.
I also noticed you have a widow's peak.
Just like you.
Oh, shit.
Look at us.
Yeah.
Twins. Go. Widow's peak twins. It's hard. It's, you know what's funny about, I never really noticed that I had one until I started doing this for a living. Mm-hmm. And then everyone was like telling me I have a heart hairline. And I was like, that sounds mean.
Yeah.
So I like looked it up and I was like, oh, widow's peak. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, because
my bad.
It sounds like they're saying your hairline's receding. It's like, it's
yes.
not. It just starts here and
yeah,
also starts
Yeah, because hearts
here.
Go like this.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm like, careful. I can be mean too. Careful.
Yeah.
Well, on to you, Hunter. Everybody knows you on your content, like for your platform, where you really get to know people. So I would love for you, I know your story, but I would love for you to tell people how you got into that in the first place.
Yeah, of course. Well, it started with working as a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I was working on a floor, and when you work on the floor as a nurse, you sort of see patients and then you see them off.
Yeah.
That's not all the situations, but that's most situations.
Yeah.
Then I transitioned to the ICU. And it was the exact opposite.
Mm.
I always prided myself in talking to patients.
Yeah.
Then when I went to the ICU, I didn't want to talk to anyone because when I built a connection, the scenario was they most likely were going to die.
Yeah.
I'd do CPR the next hour. I'd paralyze and sedate them.
Mm-hmm.
I was just getting worn out, and I didn't want to hear anyone talk.
Yeah.
And it was sad because that's who I identified as. I identified as someone who loves to listen.
Yeah.
And so I lost that. And then I had a patient pass away who was around my age. And before she passed away, I had built a connection with her. Like I said, I wasn't going to, but I asked her a question. It's a question that I ask a lot of strangers. All the questions that you see me ask strangers are the same ones that I ask my patients.
Oh, that's crazy.
It's cool.
Yeah.
And so I asked her this question, and she knew she was going to die, and yet she still started crying tears of joy because of how much she loved that I asked her that question.
Aww. Oh, that's so sweet.
So I was really sad that she passed away.
Yeah.
And so I made like a little video diary out of it where I'd sit in front of the camera and I'd talk about my feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd talk about this person's life with respect to her privacy, and I didn't say her name or anything, but
yeah,
I talk about this person's life so then it helped me cope with her loss.
Yeah.
Because then it felt like she didn't pass in vain.
Yeah. Was that something you were just doing for yourself, or was it?
So at first it was just for myself.
Yeah, just to kind of like heal
literally,
a little bit. Yeah.
Because as a guy, like, I was like, don't go to therapy. How toxic. You know what I mean?
What's the point of that? Yeah. Don't need that.
Yeah, that was the only right answer.
No, that's why I asked. That's like so emotionally intelligent and advanced to be like, I need to talk through this.
Yeah.
That's why I was curious. Why.
Yeah, I needed an outlet for sure, because it was bleeding into my daily life. I'd come home and I didn't want to talk to patients, but then I'd come home and didn't want to talk to my family.
Yeah.
I didn't want to talk to my friends. I didn't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. And when I didn't want to talk to my mom, I knew it was bad, because my mom is like my number one person.
Mm-hmm.
And she would talk to me and I would just look at the phone. I'd see it light up and I put it down.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, something's wrong here. And so then eventually I posted one of the video diaries.
Mm-hmm.
And it was met with really beautiful responses. The comments and DMs were just amazing.
Yeah.
It was helping me cope. It was helping the viewers cope. And it made me feel like the patient's loss wasn't in vain.
Yeah, totally.
So I just kept making them. And then one day, Madison, my girlfriend, came up with the idea. She said, I think that you can make people on the street feel just as comfortable as you make your patients feel.
Yeah.
And I was like, I doubt that. She's like, I think you should try.
Yeah.
And the next day I tried, and that was 3 years ago.
Look
and
at
now,
you, man.
Now we're stories from a stranger.
That's like, oh, that's so, I have so many questions. Well, first off, I'm so curious. Did you always want to go into medicine and like help people? Is that just like something you've just naturally gravitated towards?
So I always wanted to help people. I didn't know how that was going to manifest itself.
Yeah.
My mom, like, I listen to everything she says. If she says jump, I ask how high.
You know? Yeah. Me with my mom.
Yeah,
I
no,
get
exactly.
That.
Rightfully
totally.
So. Your mom's great. So rightfully so. But I was in school initially for English. And my mom was nervous, single mom, only child.
Mm-hmm.
So she protects me in every situation. All moms do, but especially her. Like, I'm her only. So
totally.
She was like, baby, why don't you think about something more stable and then do English on the side?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, mom, whatever you say. So she's like, why don't you shadow a medical field? And so I chose nurse. And the first nurse that I shadowed, I realized that this woman was healing someone with her words and medicine.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, like, I love words. That's why I loved English.
Totally.
Medicine's cool. Let me combine the two.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's how I landed at nursing. And so my mom was right, you know?
As she always is, I'm sure. So always. Is mine. Like, I know you said you love human connection and you found a way to, like, work that into medicine. When you started working in medicine, did you notice that companionship played a huge role in people's, like, healing journeys? Because, you know, they talk about that, especially in, like, nursing homes. You know, end of life care, like a lot of times human connection helps the most, like more than medicine will, really.
Yeah.
Did you see that a lot early on?
Yeah, actually, in the early days of medicine, well, I'm not going to say early days, but let's say like 80s, 90s, and 2000s, if there was a code blue, like a situation where the patient was like, we needed to do life saving measures, we would always make the family get out of the room. We'd push them out. We'd say, go, go, go. Like, you have to leave. We have to do this. Now, a lot of situations allow the family to stay in because having that person there leads to better outcomes. Like, it's been statistically studied that if the patient, family member, or loved one is in the room, it helps the outcome of the patient. So certainly companionship and just having a human connection is what keeps people here.
Yeah, because I feel like I've seen so many stories about that, too, where, like, people lived a lot longer than they thought they were going to because they were spending a lot of time with like one person, multiple people, like they had someone, a repeat visitor, things like that. I feel like, did you see a lot of like things that maybe changed your perspective on that as well when it comes to their families and how they spend time with each other, whether they're at the end of their life or they're going through something really difficult, like them? Did you see notice a huge difference between people who had family there and versus people who didn't?
Yeah, so certainly, and the energy is palpable too.
Yeah.
So you'd walk in the room and you just feel good. You'd say, oh, all this family is hanging out and they love each other, and this person's almost at peace with what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Oftentimes when they're alone, it is sad. But I will say it's also about perspective. Like, I've had people alone and they've made me laugh up until the minute that they flatlined.
Yeah.
And it's really about perspective, but certainly I would say more times than not, having a person there with you, having loved ones and support systems, that makes for a better end of life experience.
Yeah, I can only imagine. I'm so curious. What's your sign?
My sign? Yeah. Libra.
A Libra. My man's a Libra too.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. He sure is, girl. Yeah. You know what? Libra man, I'll give you guys somewhat of a pass. I'm a little biased because my man's a Libra and you're a Libra.
I'll take that.
And I know you're a good egg too. But, well, when it comes to, obviously, we know you're a nurse now. And we know you met your lovely girlfriend back at home. Well, whatever your home is.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
And then also nursing.
Yeah.
How did you guys meet and start kind of like vibing?
Yeah, so I worked as a resource nurse.
Okay.
How I first started off. Thank you for asking me this. That's
of course.
I worked as a resource nurse, which essentially means you go to different floors all the time.
Yeah.
So I wasn't committed to one floor. I would just one day go to another one, the next month go to another.
Yeah.
Her floor happened to be one that I was picking up on.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was night shift and I met her. It was me, her, and one other nurse. And she doesn't remember, but I do. So I didn't leave a lasting memory, I guess. But
Oh, she's like, oh, sorry, I completely forgot I met you that night.
She said her first impression of me was that it was night shift.
Okay.
I was way too excited.
She's like, you got too much going
on.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm tired.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But that's how we met. And it wasn't until like a year and a half later that we really started to talk. Well, I would
get to know each other.
I would reach into her DMs. I'd write to her.
Period. Look at you. That's funny. Like, you chased. That's so funny. My man chased me too.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works. How you get the best
people.
How
did he chase you?
My boyfriend and I went to high school together, but we didn't date in high school. We just knew each other. Like we were like buddies, colleagues is what I like to call it.
Constituents.
Yeah, because we went to different colleges and then had different life experiences, dated other people. And then after college, when I graduated and moved home, is when he started hitting me up. But I never reached back out because I was annoyed with him.
Yeah.
He pissed me off. And then he chased me for a while. And then at the end, he was like, this is my last chance. I am really sorry. Please let me make it up to you. And I was like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Joke's on me. He got me. Here we are 7 years later.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, it shows you, like, whenever they're willing to work for it, that's a beautiful sign.
Period. If he wanted to, he would. Anyways.
Exactly.
I know you just told us about the one patient that really, like, kind of pushed you to really start recording yourself. Were there any kind of moments where you were, like, did you ever, like, have moments where you're like, I don't know if I can keep doing this? Because I know it's really taxing being a nurse, especially, like, through COVID, I can only imagine, especially an ICU nurse. So I'm so curious if you ever had moments where you're like, I don't know if I, because I honestly don't know how people like you do that. Like that would just, it kills me emotionally. I can't be around that for too long. So I'm curious if you had that experience prior.
Yeah, certainly. I think a lot of days, and this goes for a lot of people.
It
certainly wasn't just me having bad experiences as a nurse
as
a medical provider in general.
Mm-hmm.
A lot. You have those thoughts with, I don't know if I should do this anymore, but the beautiful thing about making these videos is that it was therapy for me. So it was helping me. It was filling my cup as a nurse.
Yeah.
And being a nurse was filling my cup as a content creator.
Yeah. So they're kind of helping you heal.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was an outlet that I needed. So a lot of days would happen, at the hospital where you're like, I don't know if I can do this 3-4 days a week.
Yeah.
Because you see some stuff. And it's like one of the hardest moments of your life, really emotional trauma. You're paralyzed, sedating, CPR. You got to dress someone and take them to the morgue.
Yeah.
And then that's a Tuesday for you. You know what I mean?
No, then you have to like go home.
And you're
and
like,
eat
I got to go to work the next day. Exactly.
Yeah, and just pretend like it never happened.
Exactly. And it's really emotionally challenging for me to toe that line between don't build a connection with the patient at all because you don't want to take the work home with you. And build a connection, make them feel comfortable in an uncomfortable setting.
Yeah.
That's almost impossible.
I know.
So what I end up opting to do is just building a connection, being really sad.
Yeah. You're like, I'm just ready to get hurt again.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that makes you a very good nurse, first of all.
Thank you.
I think nurses have a hard-ass job, man. I don't know how y'all do that. I think also, too, your ability to be around any sort of bodily fluid at any time is also a superpower. I will say that.
Thank you.
I can't even imagine that. That freaks me out, so I can't even imagine. It's funny, too, because I don't, like, obviously bodily fluids, they scare me. Like, they would any human that's not in the medical field. But for some reason, like, anything with dogs doesn't ever bother me. Animals, like, waste of any kind, that doesn't bother me at all. But my boyfriend's the opposite. He cannot go near animal shit at all, but he could easily clean up blood. He's like, it's fine.
I'm just like Peely. I can't do it. Cats, my grandmother has a cat, and anytime it it vomits, I have to clean it up. And I'm like gagging the entire
time. Yeah, that's my boy. He's so dramatic. I'm always like, it's fine. But like if something else, like throw up or anything like that, he's like, oh, it's fine. I'll clean it. It's not a big deal.
I don't think about like the bottle, not to get too graphic.
No, but, you're fine.
I had a patient who had a who had an IV in the jugular.
Oh, okay.
And they pulled it out. And if anyone knows anything about the jugular, that's a lot of blood that comes out. And I remember it just spraying everywhere. And but I don't get phased at all. Like it was hitting me. It was hitting the ceiling. My cat pukes. My grandmother's cat pukes. I'm like, I can't do
you're
this.
You're getting sprayed with blood and you're like, it's fine. It's actually, no worries. Actually, no worries at all. It's totally fine. That's crazy. Blood going to the ceiling. Oh my God, I'd kill myself. That's horrible.
Yeah. Well, the pressure is so high. I mean, it's a whole thing. But
it's, you know, the reasoning, the logical part of your brain being like, it's totally fine. That's crazy. But
with the cat, I'm like, why did you do this?
You're like, Madison, please come in here. I can't do this by myself. Please.
Grandma, you got to clean this one up. I'm not doing this.
Grandma, go ahead and strap in, okay? Because I can't do that. That's so funny. That's so me and my boyfriend, too. He gags violently. Like, my dog literally took a shit. I felt so bad for him. I think he ate something that hurt his tongue. My dog is a Frenchie, so he's naturally a peanut allergy kid and is allergic to everything. Like, literally.
Squid or tuna?
Squid. Literally anything. If he eats literally anything that's not within his prescribed, he'll vomit. And it's funny because we went through this phase of trying to figure out what the fuck was going on with him. Because when I took him to the vet, they're like, so it's just vomit? I'm like, what do you call it when he does that thing that that little lizard in Jurassic Park does? Like when he goes like, axe! What do you call that? I'm like, whatever the exorcist does when it like her head goes all the way around and then she sprays black tar, that's how he vomits. Yeah. So like, thoughts? Yeah. Like, do you have any? I don't know. I don't think that's vomit. I feel like it's something else. And when we were going through that phase, like he's out the other side now, thankfully. He's okay now. But one time he had an upset tummy and he's crate trained. So he will never poop or pee in the crate. Like he could be in there forever and he would never do it. And I heard him rustling, but I didn't register it as him trying to get out when we were in our room. The next morning I saw he literally put his ass up against the crate and shit out of it. Which, genius, by the way. My son is a genius. But he literally was like, he put his ass like through the hole.
He found
and was
the workaround.
Like, yeah. And he was like, I got to shit and I'm not doing it in here. And he literally shit outside the crate. My boyfriend was violently gagging. He's like, I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do it. Because it was pretty bad. And I cleaned it. I cleaned the whole thing. And then he helped me wash the linens and everything. He's like, thank you for cleaning. I can't do that. I can't do that. I was like, I know.
Well, I understand completely why Peely doesn't like it now. Like, my cat just pukes a little bit. I see now why
he's traumatized us, to be honest. But anyways, we'll move on from bodily fluids. We'll move on from that. But when it comes to your content specifically, when did you, like, what was, I know you had that one video that did really well. Mm. But when did you start seeing the stories from strangers kind of really picking up? Was there one video in particular? Was it kind of just like a gradual increase?
You know, it was gradual.
This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place we're always daydreaming about. Whether it's the snow-capped mountains, white sand beaches, a best friend's wedding, or even a hometown visit, we all have one. My happy place, personally, is my second home, which is in Hawaii. And everybody knows, because that's where I've been living, and I live there and in California, and I love Hawaii, and I love traveling there. So wherever your happy place is, Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price, so you never have to miss a trip. And did you know that when you bundle and save with Priceline, you can save up to $625 when you book your flights and hotels together? We all know the feeling. 100 open tabs across 50 different sites trying to find the best deal. Just use Priceline and simply book your entire trip in one place. They truly have deals you cannot find anywhere else. And everybody loves a good deal, girl. So make sure you get that value off of Priceline. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. This episode is brought to you by Rockstar Energy Drink. We're all guilty of spacing out from time to time, and Rockstar totally gets that, which is why they've released the all-new Rockstar Focus, made with lion's mane and 200 milligrams of caffeine for an energy and mental boost. Plus, it's available in three delicious zero-sugar flavors, my favorite being the white peach, babe. Visit rockstarenergy.com to learn more. At least 75 milligrams of caffeine has been shown to help improve attention.
Let me tell you about my first video ever.
Yeah,
okay,
please
so,
do.
Okay, so I kind of lied. I lied again.
Okay. Hunter keeps lying.
Okay, so my first video ever was, I'd never had TikTok.
Okay.
This was 2021. I still didn't have TikTok. I heard about my friends having it, but I was, again, one of those guys that didn't want to go to therapy and one of those guys that wasn't going to download TikTok. I was just like, nah, I'm not doing that.
The same guy, yeah.
So my nurse friends, it was night shift at the end of the shift, and they were doing this video where they would take expired blood tubes. It didn't have blood in them, mm-hmm. expired blood tubes.
Yeah.
And they would tape them to their Crocs, and it looked like a high heel. And then there was like an Iggy Azalea song. It was like, Walk a Mile in My Louboutins.
Oh, yeah, the Louboutins, yeah.
And so they were doing it, and I was like, what are you guys doing? And they're like, oh, this thing. I was like, I didn't mind the concept, but the visuals, I was like, this looks terrible, girls. And they were like... They're like, who are you?
You're like, the lighting is terrible. No, exactly. Framing's bad.
Exactly. They're like, you think you can do better? And I was like, well, I could try. And yeah. So like, download TikTok. So I downloaded TikTok and I recorded it for them.
Yeah.
And they were like, okay, that is so good. Can you send that to us? I did not know how TikTok worked. I just figured out what the record button was.
Yeah.
And so I was like, sure. What do I do? And they're like, just create it and then post it, then send it to us. And I was okay. like, okay. And then I posted it, but I didn't have them as friends.
Yeah.
And I was private. So I thought I had to go public and send it to them.
Yeah.
So I went public, then sent them the video. And the next day, the video had like 200,000 views, 300,000. That was a lot because I had never seen any views.
For a first video, no, that is a whole exactly. lot. Yeah, hell yeah.
And so that was my first video ever. And and I gained like maybe one follower from it. I didn't have a profile picture. That was my only video. So then there was more impetus for me to say, okay, while I have as much traction as I'll ever have,
totally,
I want to post this video about my patient passing away.
Yeah.
Because hopefully it will be seen by people.
Yeah.
And then that's how it was. It actually, it parlayed well into that video. And that first Stories from a Stranger video did well.
Yeah.
And it was sort of on from there. It was gradual. There's certainly peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
Even today, there's peaks and valleys.
Yeah, totally. What was the first, like, Stories with a Stranger?
The first Stories with a Stranger specifically.
Yeah.
That video immediately was met with like, well.
Yeah.
It was me walking out to Bloomfield, which is a small neighborhood in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Which is where most of my videos were from.
Oh, nice.
Obviously, I've since expanded, but the first 2 years, it was just literally just this block.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, it was a woman, it was this older woman, and I felt so bad. She was carrying her groceries, but I was like so nervous. I just walked up to her and I was like, my first time ever walking up to someone, but she's carrying groceries, but I, you know, it'll be quick.
Yeah.
It wasn't quick. I spoke for a long, she spoke to me for a long time.
Aww.
And I asked her, what's one piece of advice you give someone who's struggling to find happiness?
Yeah.
And she gave a beautiful response. But my videos, you might notice it'll be like the person and then background video.
Yeah.
Person, background video. I only do that because when I was talking to this woman, all I use is my camera phone.
Yeah.
When I was talking to her, I was so entranced in the conversation, my phone kept going down.
Oh, like dipping.
Dipping, and I kept forgetting to, like, show her. Mm-hmm. And so most of the video was her feet. And I was like, okay, she doesn't want her – I'm sure she does not want her just feet on the internet, her giving beautiful advice.
Yeah.
So every moment you could see her face, I put her face. Every moment you saw her feet, I put a background.
Oh,
and so that's why my aesthetic
you're like
has
so artistic. Yeah. And it's like you're just like, forgetting.
Exactly. I'm like, look how – everyone's like, oh, man, you have such an aesthetic. I'm like, yeah, I'm so artsy.
For sure I do. By force, but it's still there.
I just needed an excuse, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's so great.
But that video was the first Stories from a Stranger, and that was – since then it was – been doing well. Yeah.
Well, you also have the series where they write stories and they put them in the bowl. How did that come about?
So I interviewed a stranger, and it was a beautiful response. And then at the end, they're like, you know what? Actually, I'm nervous. I'd prefer to be anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I don't know how I'd make this person anonymous. And I was like, that's fine. That's cool. Like, whatever.
Yeah.
And so I went home and I was like, how can people give me stories and remain anonymous?
Yeah.
Because I know a lot of people want to tell me their story. They're just nervous to show themselves on camera.
Totally.
Or at least they don't like the way they look. They don't like their voice. Like there's something, it's nothing personal. It's just that they feel like they won't deliver it well.
Yeah.
So how can I do that? And then that's how Notes from a Stranger was bred.
I love that. And how has that series like been going? Like what's your like favorite kind of Notes from a Stranger? I love those videos of yours too.
They're so fun. It's a series that I made them, one, for anonymous notes.
Yeah.
So people could be anonymous. But two, because it was so cold in Pittsburgh. I told you that's where I started.
Yeah.
No one was out talking.
Yeah.
So my mind was, I'm just going to make these Notes from a Stranger for a week, 2 weeks, and just be done. Move on back to Stories from a Stranger.
Yeah.
I thought I was a one-trick pony. I'm just going to do Stories from a Stranger.
Yeah.
And then those videos immediately, like that first notes video, I don't really pay attention to views, but it was like 30 or 40 million views the first one.
Damn, that's crazy.
And since then, it's still been great.
Yeah.
So that's become a series of its own.
Yeah.
That now I consistently, like, some people are following me just for that.
Yeah. If anything, that might be an easier way to get people to talk to you. Because like you said, like, not everybody, and you know this now too, I'm sure, especially at this point, not everybody's as comfortable on camera or mm-hmm. even like when you first start recording yourself. Because I was a journalism major in college, so when I first started recording myself and having to frame it, light it, mm-hmm. mic myself, and then talk, and then also edit it after, I hated looking at myself. I hated hearing my voice. It's fucking awful when you're rewatching it.
I'm still like that.
Yeah. So I can't even imagine being vulnerable too, mm-hmm. With someone they just met.
Yeah.
But then also they really want to tell their story, but they're feeling exactly. vulnerable. And then on top of that, they're like, and what if I look ugly?
Exactly.
Then it's even worse.
Exactly.
So I think that's a brilliant idea, honestly.
Whenever I talk to a stranger, not a lot of people know this, but it can be for 5 minutes. They just only want to talk for 5 minutes. But more often than not, it's 45 minutes to 2 hours that they're talking to me.
Damn. And so they only see
they
a
only
minute.
See that 2 minute, 1 minute. Yeah. Yeah. They only see that distilled down version.
Mm-hmm.
What people don't understand is conversation. There's a lot of it that's an art. It's not, sort of a dance.
Totally.
When you're talking to someone, you can't just be tell me the most vulnerable thing you've ever been through.
Yeah,
you can't just do that.
Totally.
I would never be able to respond to that.
Yeah.
So it's very important, the nuance of conversation. Idle conversation. Start the conversation. Talk about the weather.
Totally.
You know what I mean? You have to kind of foreplay your way in.
Yeah, it is. It is. Yeah. I'm laughing, but it's true.
Yeah.
And it's honestly a skill. Mm-hmm. You have a wonderful talent. Being able to talk to people, but not just talk to them, because anyone can make small talk.
Yeah.
But it's more so, you said, it's an art form of making them feel comfortable enough to be able to open up to you and feel safe in doing so, and then also feel safe in knowing that you're recording it. Mm-hmm. That is a skill. It's a very skilled art form, and not many people can do that. Yeah. That's why I think sometimes when you see people interview, whether it's celebrities or just random people on the street, if you don't like how the conversation goes, it's probably because they're not very good at warming people up. And also, exactly. I feel the rise of these kind of quick bite, mm-hmm. YouTube street interview type people are very skeptical about talking to people on the street.
Yeah.
Because they're you're going to humiliate me or something.
Exactly.
Because they've seen lots of examples of it. So the fact that you're not only able to get them to a place where they feel comfortable and safe, but also share something really impactful with you is a skill.
I
commend you on that.
Thank
That's why I followed you, because I really enjoy, I love, you know me, I love to fucking talk.
Yeah.
But I love someone who has that ability to make people feel so comfortable and safe that they feel confident enough sharing a story that could help somebody else. I think that's such a wonderful talent that
Thank
you have
you, Drew.
And I'm glad you're still doing it and still being a nurse.
Yeah, well, God. So I was gonna say, I think you have it too. I think it's important that we started as a 9-to-5 worker
totally.
And then got into the social media world.
Totally.
We weren't born into it.
No.
So there's
yeah.
a certain you build etiquette being
yeah.
a human that isn't on the fishbowl of society. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were in our 20s when we started this.
Totally.
Some people start when they're 14, 15,
I
16.
Can't even. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh,
no
way. And I don't want to see what I was doing at that age.
No. And it creates it creates such a weird dynamic for them and society as well.
Totally.
Because you have these 15, 16, 20-year-olds that were only know being famous.
Yep.
And so they walk around knowing that they're the ones that built their entire life. It was never any
human
income.
Experience
exactly
yeah
and so you can't blame them, but at the same time it's kind of that's where a lot of that clippy viral mentality
exactly.
comes from.
Exactly. Yeah, you're so real for that. That's so true. I was just talking about that with my boyfriend the other day, because I was I'm really glad that this happened to me well mm-hmm. into my 20s, when I was I graduated from college already. I was working normal jobs. I was so fucking normal mm-hmm. before this happened to me, and I'm grateful for that, because
yeah.
I feel like it's made us better content creators too, just because aside from just life experience, because I think it's important to be a normal human for a long time before you do something like this, because
mm-hmm.
like you said, it could 100% just warp your reality and how you
yeah.
see things, how you see people. But past that, I feel like it makes us more grateful for this, especially you, because your job was way fucking harder than the one I had. But you know how awesome it is to be able to do this for a living and make money. But you also know how hard it was not doing this and being a fucking nurse and taking
yeah.
care of people and watching them pass is geez, I can't even fucking imagine.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's way harder than what I was doing before this. Before, when I got fired from my job, I was not doing that. I was doing something less important.
No. Well, but also being a nurse is humbling. Being a medical provider is humbling in
totally.
General too, because like I said, on a Tuesday, you'll be like elbow deep in someone's like butt wiping them, like, and they can't do it themselves.
Yeah.
And so it's sad, but it's also like, wow, this is what's happening Saturday night while my friends are out having fun. It's like, and so you develop early the sense of, I'm definitely not cooler than anyone. Like, look what I was just doing. Or someone just peed on me. Someone just spit on my face. Yeah. Like, I'm not cool. You know?
It's very humbling in a very, very grounding way.
Exactly.
Which is never a bad thing. No, especially never. When you do this. Because I think I was telling, when I was talking to Zach Sang about it, I was telling him, like, I understand why some people, when they come into this, like you said, very young, mm-hmm. and they ascend really fast, I understand why sometimes they become the worst, because it's insane. Like, the shit we get to do and the people we get to meet is so weird, because you're like, I'm, like, so not supposed to be here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so normal. Like, what the fuck am I doing here?
Exactly.
And so, like, I get why that gives people this different... It's like, it just completely reframes their mind of how they see the world and how they see people, how they see themselves. So I'm glad that you and I were so fucking uncool before this.
No, really. And I don't know if you notice, like, your friends who aren't on social media versus the people you may associate with on social media.
Yeah.
But at least for me with nursing, the dichotomy of how magnanimous people that I've met on social media at a young age think they are compared to how not cool nurses think they are.
Yep.
I'll talk to nurses and they think they're literally like the bottom of society.
Yeah.
And I'll talk to like social media friends or acquaintances I know, and they think they are the top of society. And it's so funny that that's...
It's so weird, huh?
Like,
it's
like juxtaposing that mentality, you're like, really?
It's really gross, too. Like, when you see, you're like, that's... I could never feel more important than that. Even when I... That's why I'm grateful for friends, and I'm sure you are, too, that are still your friend now. Mm-hmm. Like, they were your friend before, they're your friend now, and they treat you exactly the same. When I was on a podcast recently, she asked me, like, oh, you know, do some of your friends, like, treat you differently? Are they weird or whatever? And I was like, honestly, no, because I was an adult. Like, I was a full-grown adult when this happened to me. So the friends I still have are still my friends, and they don't give a fuck about this. Like, they don't care that I do this for a living. They're happy for me. But they're not, like, they don't see me any differently. I don't see them any differently.
Yeah.
And it's very normal, which you need. I was like, I crave normalcy so much now.
Yeah.
I crave people who don't give a fuck about what I do. Mm-hmm. I'm super cool with that.
100%. I still have a group chat with the kids that I graduated with.
I love.
High school.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they still just roast me. Like they're never like, Hunter, you're so cool for doing this. They're like, what's up, douche? Like,
I know, same. My friends are so, like, they're so fucking mean to me in a funny way.
Yeah.
And they don't give a damn. Like, some of them, I'll tell them, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm doing this. They're like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Captain Morgan Sliced. In fruit and life, there's no juice without the slice. It's what freed the pineapple from the rind and turned your old jeans into cute jorts. Introducing Captain Morgan Sliced, four cocktail-inspired, ready-to-drink flavors. Pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find Sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan & Co., Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus only. This episode is brought to you by eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Whether it's a handbag, watch, sneakers, streetwear, or jewelry, eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love, and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay Authenticity Guarantee. Visit eBay.com for terms. They're so not, like, it's one of me and my boyfriend's really good friends that we hang out with all the time. He, after I hosted Black Adam and, like, got to meet The Rock and everything, which was really cool, when I got home, he was like, well, how was New York? He follows me, by the way, so he knows what I did. I was like, oh, cool. I got to meet The Rock. And he was like, that's cool. And then he was like, did you eat any good food when you were over there? And I was like, yeah, I actually went to an Italian place. He's like, nice. Yeah. He cared more about the fucking spaghetti I ate than who I met, and he didn't give a shit. And I was like, and I love that. For us.
It's amazing to have grounding friends like that. You need that, really.
You need, especially doing this. Mm-hmm. I do have another question for you.
Yeah.
When it comes to, like, the community you've built, like, have you noticed, have you gotten a lot of people reaching out to you telling you, like, this really healed me in a lot of ways, or, like, this was my experience too, and it makes me feel less alone? Like, do you get that a lot? I feel like you get that all the time.
The first real video that I ever posted, not that Louis Vuitton.
Not the lie.
Yeah, not the lie that I told. The actual first video I posted. And one of the reasons why I think I still do this with so much vigor and vim, because I like it. the first video I posted, I got a DM from someone, and they said that this video, I was thinking about ending my life. And this video allowed me to talk to my mom about it. And now I'm going to therapy, and I just wanted to say thank you. And I didn't stop that. It wasn't me that stopped that person from ending their life. They did that.
Yeah.
But the fact that they could even credit me with having a sliver of influence in that decision.
Totally.
It just felt so good. And that was one of the first videos. That was the first video I ever posted.
Yeah, of like stories with a stranger,
stories from
a
stranger. So from there, I was like, this is a thing that I want to do and that other people need.
And I feel like, especially when you said you really love words and you love human connection, it seems as if it's gotten to a point where now you're walking in your true purpose, which is to connect, right? Yeah. Which I think is a beautiful thing. And I feel like that's the power of social media. That's like the beautiful side of it. And I'm sure you know this. I don't know if you... Do you ever get hate, Hunter? I feel like you don't. Like, if you do, it's probably just like silly shit or annoying shit.
Yeah, it's hard. Honestly, what's so fun about my community is I worked in San Francisco for a while.
Okay.
So there was a moment of time in my content where there are a lot of people in the LGBTQ plus community.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get some comments where it would be, hey, like, why so many gay people? What is this? The comment would have one like, and it would probably be the person liking their own comment.
Yeah, yeah.
And it would have like 47 comments under it. It was my comment.
They're just getting jumped.
Oh, my community just going crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that's fine. Sometimes I'd be leaving them in there. Yeah, I'm like, you're going to get jumped in this neighborhood.
Exactly.
Okay.
And if you click on them, it's never, they're never following me. It's always just they found my video through the algorithm.
And they just want to be hateful and feel good about themselves. Yeah.
So me receiving hate is pretty rare.
That's good. That's a good thing. Especially, and that makes me feel good. Honestly, I'm glad because your content is so pure in its intent, and it makes me violently angry when people want to hate on shit like that. Because, like, if you hate me, that's fine-ish. I just get it because I'm very, like, confrontational, and I'm, like, I'm literally, like, looking for fights. Like, I go and fuck people up on purpose. So, like, if I were to be like, what the fuck? Why is everyone saying me hate? Then that would be insane. But yours is so pure in its intent and purpose that it makes me angry thinking about people hating on it for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
Like, there are some people I think about where, like, I always reference Emily Mariko because I love her. She's so sweet, and like her and I are mutuals, and she's great. But she doesn't even talk in her videos, and she gets so much fucking hate, which
wild.
I find insane. I find that to be insane. She doesn't even talk, and people are like, I don't know, just bad vibes. What the fuck? Like, what are you talking? So I feel the same way about your content. It's like, it's so pure in its intent and purpose, and it's obvious what it's for.
Yeah.
And if it's not for you, scroll past it,
exactly.
Babe. You could very easily scroll past it.
And but that's for every content. Like,
content literally.
Where it's the person talking. If you don't like it, why are you just not scrolling?
I don't know.
Especially
I feel
in this
like...
society, like, where literally everything's scroll now.
Yeah.
Just scroll.
I just can't relate. I feel like... Maybe it's because we're old, Hunter.
Yeah, that's
we're so old in like social media years. Like,
because I'm 20, you're 20, you're 19.
Yep. Know? So look at us, freshly 19, freshly out of high school.
But I will say that my content it's so detached from me, and it's always the person highlighting that the experiences that we experience are totally unique to ourselves.
Yeah.
But the emotions are so intertwined within all of us.
Yeah, totally.
I'll never understand the experiences you went through, and you won't understand mine, but I will understand the anxiety you felt and the paranoia and the upset and the love, the heartbreak.
Yeah.
Like, we've all experienced those things.
Just in different ways.
In different ways. Mm-hmm. And because of that, that connects us.
Yeah.
So I think that that's hard for someone just to go out of their way and be like, I hate this story. It's like, what?
Okay.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Congratulations. I feel like too, even with your ability to get people to open up and feel vulnerable, I'm so curious, like, has anyone that you have spoken to and their video did really well, have they ever been like, this was so great, like, thank you? Like, have they ever reached back out to you and told you, like, I saw the video, thank you for sharing my story?
Yeah. So when I first started doing this, that was rare. Mm-hmm. I would meet the stranger, and then that was the last time I spoke to them. And I thought there was a little something poetic about that. Like, you'll never see them again.
Yeah.
Now, almost every video I do, without question, there'll be a comment that's like, that's my grandma, or that's my mom, that's my sister. So there's always now, like, what they call it, 6 points of...
Like 6 degrees of separation.
6 degrees of separation.
Mm-hmm.
There's always someone that knows someone in my videos.
Yeah.
And yes, though, there are some... who I've kept in contact with, and they mean a lot to me. We still talk. Actually, I was just in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I got a phone call from a random Pittsburgh number. And I was like, well, it's Pittsburgh. I'll pick it up.
Yeah.
And it was one of my videos that I did like 3 years ago. Mm. And it was this older man. And he was like, hey, Hunter, I just wanted to check up. How's the video doing? Because he doesn't have TikTok or Instagram. Yeah. He's like, how many views are we at? And I told him, he's like, wow.
He's like, wow.
Yeah.
Is he an older man?
He's older. Yeah.
Yeah. That's so funny. I love when they're like, is that like good?
Yeah.
And you're
yeah.
like, yep.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty good. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of, we'll transition into our topic. So mm-hmm. our topic for today is basically, why do horrible men on the internet love to hate on other people's healing journeys, which is what we're just talking about.
Makes sense.
I think there's a ton of layers to that. I think, like you were joking about earlier, a lot of men don't heal by choice, and they should, because everyone should and can. Yeah. But I'm sure that's why there's, if you were to like, I don't know, if I were to like close my eyes and point, there's always like, if I'm pointing at the guy, it's probably a man who's mad for no reason about shit like that. But that's why I asked if you get any hate, because I doubt it. But when you do, it's probably anonymous more than anything. But
what's on top of that point, it's like there is always a way out. Like you said, there's always a way to heal yourself. You have to find it.
Totally.
Hurt people. That's the most cliche thing.
For real.
Whatever you're about to read, these people are hurt. I already know.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's so simple just to find different outlets. If one doesn't work, therapy does not have to work for you.
Yeah.
That's okay if therapy doesn't work. It doesn't have to.
You have to try it first, though. Find out if it doesn't.
Yeah, try it once. Try it a few times if it doesn't. But there's something.
Yeah.
Is that crocheting? Is that like hanging out with your mom? Like with your dad? Like what is it?
Go hug your dad. Exactly. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to read one of these videos. Okay, this first one is... In this video, a girl is describing using a series of pictures. It's like one of those slideshow videos. Mm-hmm. And how over the course of several months after her breakup, she went from saying no to everything, like not seeing friends, not being motivated to do anything, not eating healthy, not enjoying her job, to saying yes more and entering her healing era with videos of her working out, taking care of herself, going on trips, seeing her friends, all of that. And these comments are obviously very mean because people are evil. And this one says, change your character and he probably would have stayed. Basically saying that's probably on you. Like, oh, I get it. That's one of those where she's like, I started taking care of myself after my breakup. And they're like, well, why didn't you do it while you were with them? Mm-hmm. Maybe mm-hmm. he would still be there.
Yeah.
Not one of those.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love to hate on healing people's journeys.
Well, good for her, though.
That's what I'm saying.
And that's amazing.
I always think if I see those videos and they're like, glow ups, not even physically, like they just look happier and healthier in whatever way that may be. I always think maybe it's because they were with the wrong person. Mm-hmm. Like they always leave that part out. They're like, why didn't you want to take care of yourself when you were in that mm-hmm. relationship? Probably because that person didn't make you feel good.
Exactly.
And when you don't feel good, you don't take care of yourself. I just feel like that's obvious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you ever see things and you're like, I just feel like that's obvious, and for some reason everybody's missing the point?
Without a doubt. I think the internet culture, really almost culture as a whole, but it's easy on the internet because everyone says this, but you really are behind a screen. Like you,
so anonymous.
You can't hurt me physically, so I'll say whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
And so with people like that, it just goes back to what we were saying. If you make content and people don't like it, they can just scroll. Like, to comment what that person just said.
Yeah,
that was,
dude.
Like, what, maybe 2 minutes of their time to watch the video, then also type. It's like, what are you doing?
I know. I always call that unemployed behavior. Because clearly, it's like bitchless behavior.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
For real.
Clearly. If you had love in your life, you wouldn't be doing that.
100%.
From your mom or your girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
This one says, there's two sides to the story. She, like most women, are evil. Okay. I don't know about most.
Yeah, no.
I am, but I don't know about most. I don't want to speak on behalf of other women.
That's wrong. And it's sad because the first part of that comment is true. There are two sides. Then you have to add that second part for sure. It wasn't until I was in a serious relationship and we had broken up.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, a lot of myself was blaming her.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, why did this have to end? This was my future. Like, she caused this to end. What the heck?
Mm-hmm.
And she even thought so as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then as I looked deeper, I realized that, you know, I can be the toxic one too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there can be microtoxicities. Like, maybe certain days I don't talk to her how I was supposed to. Or I was passive with her and I didn't think about. And little things like that can lead to the end of a relationship.
Absolutely.
And so by all means, like, in that moment, that girl could feel like she was the one wrong.
Yeah.
In reality, it could be both.
Yeah. That's honestly one of the most insightful things my sister shared with me after her breakup, because my sister had a very big breakup as well. But when we were going through that with her and she was healing, she told me that recently. And I was like, that's so insightful. She was saying, like, I can look back and say, like, I wasn't 100% innocent in anything. Nobody is. And mm-hmm. I've said that before, when you fight with people or a partner specifically, no one's 100% innocent. Anytime you argue about literally anything at all, and it's very possible that someone could hurt you and you could have hurt them too in different ways. And if it didn't work out, it just didn't work out. Now, that's not to say that if they committed something egregious, like adultery or something like that, obviously that's different. Yeah. But we're talking about ones that just don't work out, and then you blame, you know, it's I think it's part of the healing process to feel very angry and exactly. feel very upset and resentful. And then part of healing is getting to the part where you're holding yourself accountable to
exactly.
and being like, I could have been better in these areas. They could have been better in those areas. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't meant to be.
Yeah.
And there's like a freeing part of that.
Exactly. And that acknowledgement isn't to forgive that person
or
to say they did nothing wrong.
Totally.
It's just to acknowledge that I had a part in this.
Yeah. It's like for you.
Exactly.
Like, it's like giving yourself the forgiveness for how you may have acted. And then that's for me to hold. Like mm-hmm. I need that so I can move on with my life, which is why I always joke when men are like, oh, well, girl really fucked me up back in the day. And have you healed from it?
Yeah.
Go to therapy.
100%.
Or do a story with strangers. with Hunter.
Yeah, yeah. But then at the end he says, all girls are evil. That's crazy. How toxic.
No, probably. This one says, why do girls have to go to the gym to heal? I thought it was for weight loss. Okay. Well, that person's probably 13, but
yeah, no.
Okay, I always know. I can always tell when it's like a child writing the comment. I'm like, well, clearly you're 15.
Punctuation's weird.
Yeah, it's all like, yeah, well, guess what? You're a big fatty. Yeah. And I'm like, and you're 14, so.
And also, the gym certainly is not just for weight loss or weight gain. Sometimes it's cardiovascular health, too.
Yep. Like, let them know, nurse. Like, tell them. Let them know.
You can do it for your heart. You can do it for your circulatory system, your lungs, respiratory.
Like, let them know, doctor.
But really, though, this mindset that, yeah, women get into the gym to get that big butt and slim waist. It's like, that's not.
Well, and?
Exactly.
I know. That's why it's some people literally, like, my sister calls it, I think she saw it somewhere, but she's like going outside or like when you go for a walk, that's also exercise, right? Uh-huh. It's like lizard time. That's what she calls it. She's getting it outside. Sometimes people, I think, go to the gym because they just want to get out of the house and go somewhere that's not work. Mm-hmm. And so they go and then do whatever they got to do. And at least they're around other humans and they're existing in other space doing something for themselves. And then they go home.
Yeah.
There doesn't have to be a goal when you go there.
Yep.
There doesn't have to be like, I'm going to go and I'm going to lift 1,000 pounds.
Yeah.
Oh, that reminds me. This is unrelated entirely to anything we're talking about, but it's just something funny that I thought of. This like one time this guy. Well, I made a video defending WNBA players because I was like, I hate hearing men who couldn't make varsity in high school talking shit on professional athletes. I hate it. So I made a video about it. Obviously, a bunch of men got very mad at me, obviously. And when one guy was like, he was trying to argue with me and I was just being a dick. Like, I was just saying silly shit to him. And then he's like, oh, yeah, well, I bench 400. Well, he said something like, I bench 275 or 375, some fucking ridiculous number. And he's, how much do you bench? And I was like, the same. I'm just lying. See?
Yeah.
Lying.
Yeah.
I lie all the time. I just be lying and tell people. I was like, yeah, I can bench that much. I benched that much yesterday. I didn't.
But I love how he throws out his bench. Where did that come from?
Bro, I don't give a fuck. I was like, okay, you bench 275. How many dates have you gone on in the last week? How about that, bitch?
Yeah, jeez Louise.
Okay, I'm going to read this next TikTok. This one is, in this TikTok, a hyper-masculine AI-generated cartoon guy is giving
there's a lot
pep-
of those.
That's a lot going on already. Is giving a pep talk to the camera. He says you should never post your achievements on social media. It says post alcohol, post memes, post jokes so that they think you have no future. People hate progress. Succeed in silence. They can't destroy what they don't know. And then Amanda put question marks in parentheses. Like,
wow.
Wow. It's like that those grind in silence type
dudes.
Yeah. I love those guys. They're talking about us, Hunter. They're like, don't post things that you do that are good.
Exactly.
They're talking shit on us. This one says, don't post anything. Work in silence. There you go. Well said, they can't destroy what they don't know. What are you talking about? Sometimes I see what men like that say on the internet. I'm like, I feel like you're living in a different world than I am. What are you talking about?
No, and it's like also people think that they're at like war. It's like you realize like you're just a dude hanging out in society.
Yeah.
You're fine. Like even like the worst case scenario, but you're doing fine. It's like you're fine.
You're fine. You're good.
Yeah. Don't worry. Like you're not under siege. You're not like, like why are you acting like you're in the trenches trying to like build up like
for these... real, dude? Oh my god. I that's kind of why I was dying at the. Did you see when the UK was saying they were going to draft men and women?
Yeah.
And then a bunch of women were making funny, silly ass videos about it. Like they were like, oh, I can't. Sorry.
Yeah.
And just all red heart. That's it. They're like, I'm actually going to get my period next week, so I won't be there. Yeah. Appreciate it, though. Uh-huh. But I saw a lot of men getting mad and they were like, see, this is why women want equal rights, but like, we're going to have to go to war. I'm like, you're not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. You live in Michigan. You're not going to the UK war, yeah. Bitch. Like, yeah. The UK's not drafting you. Relax. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. The conscription thing. Ooh, they hate that.
And it's like, the saddest thing is there's situations where war is going on in this current world.
Yep.
Those guys writing on TikTok videos are not part of that.
And you could go.
Yeah.
They could go.
Yeah, exactly.
Go to your nearest, listing office. You literally could walk in there, yeah. And list if you wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But they won't do that. Because then they wouldn't be in our comments harassing, yeah, exactly. Us. They're like, I actually have a full-time job,
yeah.
Harassing sweet stories from strangers, so
yeah, exactly.
Can't go to war either, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. I'm very busy.
And what's wrong with posting achievements anyway?
I don't,
again, it's like scroll past.
Yeah, I don't know. Posting achievements,
they just want negativity constantly. And yeah. Also, if you're just posting alcohol and drugs, whatever he just said or the AI said,
yeah,
that is building such a negative connotation on what should be posted.
Yeah.
You know, people say the internet's toxic, but that's because a lot of it could be alcohol, drugs, and
yeah, like shit that's all negative, yeah. And bad.
What if the internet was always everyone's achievement? That'd be such a nice place to be.
Everybody was like nice to each other.
Yeah, exactly.
God, what a world. Yeah. That would be crazy.
They're asking for the opposite, which is crazy.
Yeah, and it's also, well, and then even so, like when people like you, when you put out your content and it's like literally nothing but positivity, it's supposed to uplift and encourage and help people, whoever it may be, they'll still be like, well, actually, like they'll still have something negative to say.
Yeah.
So it's like, we're actually trying to like uplift the energy in here. Mm-hmm. And you're really in a real fucking drag.
Exactly.
So we're such a fucking drag. Shit. I'm like, you guys just want to see negative shit all the time? I don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting. Unless it's coming from me, then it's funny. this last one says literally all war is based upon deception. You literally.
That's what the last comment says?
Yeah. It says all war. War? What war? Every time. It's the same thing when men will say shit like awful fucking men on the internet will say things like, oh, well, you want men to go away or you don't want men in the world, whatever, which no one ever says that. They're like, well, who's going to build the buildings and who's going to build the roads and who's going to build the... Uh-huh. And I'm like, I don't fucking know, but as long as it's not you, I don't give a shit who does it, first of all. But second of all, I'm always like, how many buildings have you built?
Mm-hmm.
Probably the same as me. So it turns out we're both useless fucking women, huh?
Yeah, exactly.
We're both at home on our phones.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're both at home.
Well,
you haven't built shit.
And I do want to say that my father left me.
Mm-hmm.
My mother did not. So period. I don't know if that says something about, like...
Can I say something also?
Yeah.
My boyfriend also has the same situation, single mom.
Yeah.
Same situation.
And that's
and good eggs. Look at you.
And he's a Libra.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
You pull off your face and you are Billy.
Yeah.
Great hair, long hair. See what I mean?
Peely, write to me after this. We're gonna talk, man. This is cool.
You guys are brothers. What if it was like a parent trap thing?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be crazy.
Listen, he has some amazing hair. I can't. My hair is not like his.
No, you guys both have wonderful hair. It's great. Actually, this morning, and he's gonna be so glad I remembered. He told me, he's like, make sure you tell him he's got great hair.
Oh.
And I was like, okay, I'll make sure I tell
cool.
him. I'll put that at the top of my list.
Yeah. Well, tell him I said the same.
I'm so happy I got to talk to you. I'm like, genuinely, I adore you. You're so awesome.
Thank you, Drew.
I'm really, and I mean this with all, I know I'm such a silly goose on the internet, but I mean this with all the seriousness in the world. I think people like you are essential to the internet. I really do. And I think people like you make a huge difference in the overall energy of the internet. Like, people like you make me feel like the internet isn't the worst place in the fucking universe, because it does feel that way sometimes. But I'm really, really glad that you exist on the platform. I think people like you are essential. Far more essential than people like me. So I'm very happy that you exist there.
That last part is not true, but thank you so much. That really means a lot to feel seen by you. I appreciate you.
Thank you. And I appreciate you and your content very, very much. And I do want to ask you one last question.
Yeah.
What would you say is your best piece of advice for people that really want to... Like you said, you weren't really sure how, but you did know for sure that you wanted to form human connection, because that's where your heart is and that's where you shine, clearly. So if there are people out there who wish for that kind of like connection or whatever, even if they're in a job like how you're a nurse still, and maybe they have a job too. Like, what would you say is your best piece of advice if they want to foster that kind of connection and maybe just don't know how to start?
Yeah. Foster connection to make content or just foster?
Both. I would say both. Like, yeah. Whether it's coming from content or just from like a purely like they just want to. Because I remember you said too when we were at Meta that you were saying a big reason why you wanted to do it is because you wanted to feel that connection again. Like, yeah. Whether it went anywhere, you didn't care. You just really wanted to like feel like humans are inherently good and there is good in the world, which I think is kind of hard, especially nowadays.
Yeah. Well, on that, I would say there's always a wall that we have naturally. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand that and that's completely okay.
Yeah.
Understand that breaking down that wall will facilitate the best communication. And when you talk to someone, it is a fact as much as gravity is real that this person has felt emotions that you have felt as well.
Yeah.
Again, different reasons why, totally different reasons why. You might not come from the same world.
Mm-hmm.
But pain, love, anxiety, anything, they felt that on the same spectrum that you felt that.
Totally.
So understand that you are connected. You're already connected.
Yeah.
It just takes that conversation. You know,
and
people want to talk and people want to listen.
Yeah. I think the listening thing is a huge part. Mm. Like, you're such a good listener, which I think is a big reason why people feel so safe when they talk to you. And what if people want to make content when it comes to that?
Yeah. If people want to make content, you have to go into it not searching for that viral moment again.
Exactly. Yeah.
Again, my conversations will be 2 hours long. I mean, I have one that was like 3.5. You could see the sun. And then by the end of it, it was nighttime. It was strange. But you have to realize that at the end of the day, why are you doing this?
Mm-hmm.
You want to build a connection with someone? Okay, the video doesn't turn out how you want it to. You build a connection still.
Yeah, totally.
If every moment you're searching for that person to say a word that you think is going to get you that million views or get you that viral moment, you're doing it for the wrong reason. The audience is going to see that.
Yeah.
When you're proud of your work, the audience sees that. When you're not proud of your work and you're trying to do these viral moment clips, they can see that as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that might work in a vacuum for a tiny bit of amount of time, but it's not going to work long.
It's not going to sustain.
No. It's not going to sustain you.
Yeah.
You're going to be chasing something always. And when you're chasing something, it's just...
Yeah. It also defeats the purpose, right?
Exactly.
The whole point of it was for you. And that's why I truly do believe this, that like... If you chase it for the wrong reasons, the universe will withhold it from you. I like truly do believe that.
Yeah.
And you weren't searching for that. I wasn't searching for that. And it happened for us. And that's just because it was meant to is how I see it. So, yeah, I think you're amazing, dude. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Drew.
You're the best. And thank you all for watching. Where can everybody find you, Hunter?
You can find me on all social medias. And all social medias, my name is Hunter Prosper.
Period. Make sure y'all go follow Hunter. He's amazing. He's so talented and so sweet.
Thank you. And before we go, I just want to say I love you, Mom.
Oh, sweet. I love you too, Mom.
There's one like that.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode of The Comment Section. Make sure y'all go follow Hunter on literally everything because he is so amazing and talented and he's going many different places and working on many amazing things, which I'm sure you guys will hear about soon. So thank you so much for joining us on this week's episode. Don't forget, new episodes of The Comment Section drop every Wednesday. You can stream all the audio on all streaming platforms, but the video lives for free and exclusively on our fave platform, Spotify. Thank you so much to my amazing guest, Hunter. Thank you for joining us, and I'll see you next week. Bye!
Drew, you got that down.
Period.